Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's had a wonderful day. What a beautiful day the Lord gave us. We're so just love the Lord this evening. As we get ready, let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Praise God. Amen. Just praise the Lord. If you have a prayer request tonight, just show by the raising of your hand. Oh, God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, dear Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, again, thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Lord, as we open up this service, maybe we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to receive your word, dear Lord, ready to worship and praise you. Lord, again, as we gather together, dear Lord, I just thank you for each and every one here tonight, those watching live, dear Lord, and each and every situation we're placing into your hands. Lord, you see the hands that were raised. You know the depths of our heart. Lord, we ask now that you'll touch, you'll mend, you'll protect, you'll heal. Lord, for those that are sick and shut in or not able to be with us for whatever reason, Lord, we ask you just continue to let them feel your holy presence. Lord, for those in nursing homes and assisted living, Lord, we know they would rather be here with us, dear Lord, right now, dear Lord, and we just love you. We thank you for reaching out to each and every one that we cannot go too far from you. But, dear Lord, we love you and we praise you, and we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, 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 amen. While you're standing, turn to page 120. We're going to do a Wednesday night song, Victory in Jesus. Everybody sing.
Precious love.
seat if you can. Turn around and tell somebody how much Jesus loves them. That song, as we just sing it, that victory in Jesus, I know we do it a lot, but it means a lot to me because in His powerful name that we can call on no matter what situation we're in, what the situation it seems the world's in, we can put our faith and our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just love Him. Praise Him. Well, good to have y'all with us. Those watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal and Victory Villa Rica, and if you have a prayer request tonight, just write it in the column category, and we'd love to pray with you because it's not about us, it's all about Him. We believe in the power of prayer. Praise God, praise God. Miss Jennifer, do you have would you do an announcement again on the Christmas presentation? And
yes.
Then we'll get ready to take up offering.
The Christmas program is going to be Sunday morning, the 19th of December. And we are going to start practicing with all the speaking parts after the weekend of Thanksgiving. So
okay.
That'll be the first Sunday in December.
Okay.
And it's going to be a lot of fun, and some of the puppets are getting involved. And you hadn't been asked yet, you might be. So prepare to say yes.
It's easy. Just say yes. That's right. Praise the Lord. Really looking forward to it, and I'm really excited. The puppets have been on a trip where they haven't been here in a while, so it's time to get them. Time to get them back, isn't it? It's been COVID. Okay. Well, we're clean now. We're going to let them know they can even come back without masks. They're more than welcome. Praise God. Praise God. We just love y'all, and we're looking forward to this. It's a great season. I don't know about y'all, but I just get really excited. We were thinking about being thankful and the Thanksgiving, and just as we were doing this song, Victory in Jesus, you know, what else can we place anything in even more higher than that? That there is victory in the name of Jesus, our salvation and our walk. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Then we'll call on some special singers. Any other announcements? I didn't want to cut anybody off. Nope. Sounds great. Got help coming here, Brother Thomas. Brother Thomas, if you would, ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering, please. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Hello. I got to say something first.
Praise the Lord.
Because I got to calm myself down because I'm nervous. But if y'all wasn't here this morning, that was my son that come to the altar. Mm-hmm. I was so... He doesn't live here. He lives in Florida. And I have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and I'm still going to be praying. Brother Eddie told us to close our eyes, and I had my head closed. I mean, my eyes closed, my head too. My eyes closed. And when he said, y'all, this is an answered prayer.
Yes.
And I have the right, Sister Virginia, to stand up and claim my victory of the Lord answering my prayers.
Yes.
When hang on a minute, Brother Eddie. When Brother Eddie said, somebody come up here and pray for this young man, and I opened my eyes, I looked at my mama like that. But what was that? Brother Eddie's always telling us, we shouldn't be in shock when the Lord answers our prayer.
Amen.
And yes, he was going to be here tonight, but my other son got a hold of him. And you know, when you can only be here for a little bit and you try to visit with everybody, then you know it's a little hard. But I praise God because I've seen my son go to the altar, but I have never, Brother Tommy, seen my son that way. And I praise God above for what he's done. They say there'll be no tears in heaven, but I cannot understand. Place of peace.
Karen, if you would, come on up. Then Miss Tabitha after.
As small as I am.
Tell Brother Eddie this morning that I wanted to testify, but I'll give you a little brief testimony before I sing. I was thinking last night as I was laying in the bed, I didn't sleep most of the night because steroids keep me awake, and I have an ear infection and sinus infection. But I was laying there, and you know how the devil just play with your mind, Sister Brenda? Like, why am I so afflicted with different things in my life? Why have I had to go through these things? But I was reminded that 11 years ago was my first heart surgery around this time. It was actually on my birthday, which is December the 3rd. It's coming up 11 years ago. And in an 11-year span, I've been through so much. But God's had his hand on me.
Yes.
He's brought me through every single thing. And I've learned that I just have to trust him. Don't let fear and doubt get in my mind, because it has tried to many times. But God's always brought me through. But I just wanted to share that with you. 11 years ago, and I'm still here. And I'm going to be here until he says it's time to go. Amen. Amen. I'm going to try and sing this song. I know Sister Jennifer likes it, and I haven't sung it in a while, but I'm going to try His Life for Mine.
Broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross He carried bore my burden. The nails that held Him set me free.
For mine. Amen. God is great, isn't he?
Yes.
Greatly to be praised. You know, this morning I asked for some volunteers to come forward, this being Thanksgiving season and the week of Thanksgiving, and to give a testimony of God's goodness, his mercy. I told them we could use a specific time or just his Thanksgiving in general. So I had a couple of people come forward, but before we do that, I want to take an opportunity to testify. Now, God has been great to me all of my life, and I've been blessed. Both sides of my family, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and been in church ever since I can remember. And this testimony goes way, way back. I thought about the testimony of Penny after we got married, and how that she went to the emergency room one night, and I waited and waited and waited on a call back. I was having to sit with the kids. Come to find out, she had a blood clot in her lung, and she couldn't breathe, but prayer was made, and God healed her instantly and touched her. And, of course, you've heard the testimonies of Kevin and how God has sustained him, and also my mother in a situation early in her life when we were very, very young. But this may not seem a whole lot big deal to some folks, but it was a big deal to me at this particular time. This goes way back. In fact, I was still in school. That's how far back that was. I was probably about a sophomore in high school, maybe even a freshman. But I started developing this soreness in my knees, and it got worse. And you know how active a 14, 15-year-old boy is. And I got to where every evening when I'd come in after playing ball and all, when I sat down, I couldn't get back up. That's just not that's not right. That's not normal. And it got worse and worse. So mother took me to the doctor, and Dr. Barry, that's how long ago it was, diagnosed it with some really long name, and I can't remember exactly what he said, but he told me, he said, you know, there's not really any medicine that's going to have it. He said, what you need to do, you're going to have to just pretty much get rid of the rough housing. That's what he said, no rough housing for about 3 months. And that means no running, no jumping, no playing ball, not doing anything like that. And this condition had got so bad, you know, when we had a family reunion, you know, all the men used to eat watermelon on the ground. They'd squat down. I couldn't even do that because it hurt so bad. Just little normal things just tore me up with both legs in my knees. And I thought, you know, this is going to be forever. I'm afraid I'm going to damage something. So when he said 3 months, I thought, well, that's going to be really, really hard. But I tried it for a couple of weeks. And this was when I was going to the Rockmart Church, you know, driving on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning and staying up there with my granddaddy, because that's the church that he pastored. And I had a little old guitar. It made me think of Trey dragging a little guitar to church. And I had learned G, C, and D, and not necessarily in that order, but I had learned it. And that's what I played. Didn't matter what they were in, but I tried to follow Daddy. And we were playing. The Lord was blessing. There's good church service going. And honestly, it's just, now I never had this really like the Lord just really laid something on my heart, because like I said, I was being drugged to church. It wasn't really my idea at this particular time in my life, but it's just like I'm as plainly speaking to you. The Lord said, if you'll go back in the bathroom and do three deep knee bends, I'll heal your knees. Well, the little church was about half the size of this one, and the bathrooms were, you just walked right out of the auditorium, and there were two bathrooms, one on the left and one on the right, and you just opened the door and went right in. So it wasn't like I could dismiss myself and go downstairs or out to another area, but I had to go right in there. So it just kept on, and I finally put the guitar down while they were still singing, and I walked back and went into the bathroom, and started to do three deep knee bends. Now, I don't even know if they still do that in PE class, but we used to try to do that. You go down and then come back up. You go down, come back up, you know. And it's like the Lord said, do three of them. And so I did one, and it hurt. Oh, my Lord, it hurt. Because like I said, I hadn't even been able to get back up. I'd have to push myself up. And I was doing all I could. I mean, it was just antagonizingly hurting. Got that one done and finally did one more. And it's just like the Lord said, one more. And I thought, I'm not going to be able to do a third one. I mean, it was like a cold sweat. But I went down anyway, and the third time that I came up, it's almost like Sister Brenda said, I couldn't believe it. There was no pain whatsoever after that third time that I did the deep knee bend. I came up. God healed me that night instantly and immediately. And I've not had a problem with them since then. Amen. Old age is coming on. But that's entirely a different thing. And that's just one time out of many times that the Lord has blessed me. But it made me think of this song in G. I thought number one would surely be me. Thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even everyone about December the 12th, that we're having a multi-church service here at First Pentecostal Church. Amen. Just looking forward to a great time. Remember that. Put it on your schedule, on your calendar, and make plans to be here. Also, there will be a love offering received that night, and it will help the Shop with the Cops program that they have. And if you've never been in Walmart when they're doing that, it's quite a remarkable sight to see. There's kids just surrounding the policemen as they go around, and they shop for them for Christmas. So we're going to help out with that. Plus, we're going to have some wonderful singing, just expecting a great move of God. So advertise it. Invite folks. Come and be with us again December the 12th. This will be a 6 o'clock start, okay, just like regular service. Brother Jason, have I missed anything on that? All right, we're looking forward to that. And also, I want to thank the church this morning. Without any advance notice, we received a special love offering for the trip to go to the Appalachian schools in West Virginia that we've been a part of the churches that are helping them out. And Sister Wendy and Brother Kevin have been very instrumental in going and helping them out. And in fact, they look forward and they kind of have become dependent on the help that the churches down here send to them. So without any advance notice this morning, we were able to raise, was it over $700? Seven what? 710. Okay, a little over $700 this morning. So that's going to go. It's going to buy clothing, socks, leggings, and all for those kids that go to school. Isn't God great?
Yes.
Amen. So good. This morning we asked for someone to volunteer. We had two, and hopefully somebody else will step forward tonight to give a testimony of God's goodness and His blessings. And what are you thankful for? I know we got a lot to be thankful for, but maybe there's something in particular. So, Sister Jessica, come at this time. I believe you had volunteered, and I thank God for that. And then another Jim Spears is going to bring his testimony. And you can be thinking, if you want to do this, then you can come up. You get to use the microphone. Amen.
I'm so excited to use the microphone. I'm a little short. Praise the Lord. I speak every day in front of little guys, but speaking in front of grown-ups is a little bit nerve-wracking. But thank God, I just asked, when Brother Eddie said that, this morning I was thinking, wow, I always have something to say. The Lord's done so much. And actually, even on the way over here, Julianna and I were talking, and she said, what are you going to say? You got about five testimonies. I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to see what the Lord lays on my heart. But one of my favorite scriptures is about our testimony, and it comes from Revelation 12:11. And it says that they overcame him meaning the enemy, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And just for a second, I can't just give my testimony without giving a little something for you to think about. That's just the way I am. But we really need to remember that scripture, because it's so important that we give our testimony, not just like maybe your testimony from how you found salvation and all the things that He's done in between now and then, but our life is actually a testimony. Even the times when we fall down and we make a mess of it, when we get back up and we give God the glory, that's part of our testimony. And in my Sunday school class, where Brother Jim is a most awesome teacher, we study the Bible. We're studying it book by book, verse by verse, and it's really been eye-opening for us. But one thing we studied not too long ago was the book of Joshua. And in the book of Joshua, it talked about when the Israelites finally made it to the Promised Land, and they were crossing over the Jordan River. And I didn't realize this, but the Jordan River actually was dried up, just like the Red Sea. And as it was dried up, every man was to get a stone, and they were to take that stone and build a monument. So there were a total of 12 stones for the 12 tribes. And they were to build a monument so that their kids would ask, hey, why is that there? And they were to tell all that the Lord had done for them to bring them to the Promised Land. So that's what we're to do too. And so we're biblically correct, not just at Thanksgiving, but at all times, to give our testimony. And I just wanted to bring that out, because I'm just always a teacher. But I want to praise the Lord. That's all I have written down. So I don't really know. He's done so much. I first was introduced to Jesus when I was 10 years old. I was not raised in church. I love both my parents very, very much, and they're not here tonight, but they were two hippies. And I often tell people I was raised in an era where, pardon me, kids, but it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's what I was raised in, and that's what I knew. And my parents actually divorced when I was only 2 years old. But when I turned 22, they decided to remarry each other. So a lot of people always ask me, is that your mom and dad? That the people who come sometimes are really my mom and dad. We have lots of pictures in between that time frame that's really weird. So when my kids go back to look at photo albums, they're like, now who is this and who's that? And I'm like, okay, well, that was before my mom and papa got back together. So my life, actually, I've often thought I should write a book, because I might could retire from teaching, because it would be quite comical. But the Lord definitely has a sense of humor, because that's how I was raised. And so I always knew things that probably I shouldn't have. I'm an only child also, which causes you to grow up a little bit faster. But at 10 years old, my mom had been invited by one of her friends to go to a Pentecostal church. I had never been to a Pentecostal church. I'd only been to Methodist church with my grandmother. And I'd gone to every vacation Bible school since I was able to go, because my mom let me go to everyone, you know. And so I knew a little bit about Jesus, but I didn't really know him. So at 10 years old, I'm at this Pentecostal church, and it is a wild service. I mean, people are running. People are speaking in tongues. There's things going on, and most kids would have been scared, but not me. I thought, oh, that's pretty neat. You know, it's kind of like rock and roll, but it's not. So I actually made my way to the altar with my mother, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit at 10 years old. And it was a wonderful experience, but unfortunately, my mom did not continue to go to church. That was not her thing, and I'll let her give her own testimony one day. The Lord's still working on her, because you know what? Another one of my favorite scriptures is that he is always working on us, right? Until the day of completion, until Christ comes back, he's still working on us. So there's hope. But so we didn't go to church often, and as a teenager, I really got a little crazy. And I see there's some teenagers here, and I'm raising a teenager. And often I tell her things about my past, and sometimes I think, maybe I shouldn't tell her that. But I tell her that because if she can learn from my mistakes and not make the same mistakes, then it's worth it. But as a teenager, I got a little crazy. And around 15, I started dabbling in drugs and alcohol. And it just became a way of life for me. And because my parents had done that, there wasn't a lot of rules at my house. I was allowed to stay out all night or have friends over. And I remember one time we went on a ladies' thing, and Sister Karen and I were talking, and she was talking about how strict Sister Penny was. And I thought, oh, I longed for that as a child. I longed for that because kids actually like discipline. They like to be told no. But I can remember growing up, and it was just kind of do my own thing. And so it's just like a snowball effect. Things got bigger and bigger and bigger, and they got a lot bigger than I could handle. And I'd got myself in a lot of situations, some very horrible situations, and made some choices that hurt my body, that hurt myself, that hurt my emotional state. And I always knew that Jesus was there. I can remember even being at parties and getting a little out of frame and telling people about my Holy Ghost experience. And they were like, man, she's really drunk. But the truth is, I would start to remember that, because even at my worst, he was calling me out. He was pulling on my heart, even at my worst. So no matter where you are tonight, no matter the choices you've made, how bad they are, he is there for you. He's calling you out. He doesn't desire that any of us perish or that any of us live bound by sin. And the bigger it got, the more out of control it got, I remembered my mom's friend, who had been in and out of church, to be honest, but I was in a bad situation. I was living with someone that I shouldn't have been living with, and I had to move out real fast. And so this friend of my mom's came and helped me move, and she said, I only have one request. You've got to go to church with me. Now, by this time, I'm about 21 years old, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm not ever going back to church again. I'm too dirty. They won't have me. I can't. And at that time, just to be honest, sorry if I offend anybody on live stream, but at that time it was a UPC church, and they were very strict. And I thought, I can't go in there. I'm not clean. My outside is dirty. My inside is dirty. I can't go. And she was like, just come, just come. So I did. And the Lord refilled me, and I was baptized. And I have been living for him ever since. And I'm so thankful for that. But if I could tell you anything, I would tell you, live for him today. Because the choices that we make, although he forgives us and we're washed clean, just like the scripture I read to you, that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Once you accept Jesus Christ, his blood is applied to your life. And everything you've done is forgiven. It's gone. It's washed. But because we're human, we still remember. And we carry those scars. And those of you that are here tonight who are young, and you're in the balance of making some choices, and you think, oh, I'm just a teenager. It's just part of life. I'm just going to take that pill because my friend did. I'm just going to hit that joint because I'll feel better. I'm going to have that drink, or I'm going to sleep with that guy, or I'm in love with him, and he's in love with me. The Lord understands. You're putting a scar on your heart. And He will forgive you. He will. Oh, yeah. He forgives all sin. There's nothing we can do that he won't wash away. But it's hard to forgive yourself sometimes. And so that actually happened years later. I met Brother Chewy at church, and he was quite the opposite as I was. He, as he still is, quite the opposite. He's very serious, and he was always a straight arrow, and he just sort of, And one time we had a date, and we were playing, there was a bunch of people at my apartment, we were playing Bible trivia, and I didn't know really anything about the Bible, and they were asking something about the guy who had a bunch of concubines and wives. That was the question. I was like, well, I don't know who it is, but he must have been really busy. Well, Brother Chewy did not think that was funny. But opposites attract. And anyway, 22 years later, we're still trying to figure it out. But I say all that to say that, you know, God always has a plan. And I remember when he and I were getting serious and we were dating and we did a little pre-marriage counseling deal and we were talking to the pastor, and it hurt me so bad to have to reveal who I had been before Jesus, because he needed to know that, because we were about to spend our lives together. And everything you do, young ladies and young men, everything you do will affect the rest of your life. Every choice that you make affects you. Every relationship that you're in, that you bond together, it affects you for the rest of your life. So be careful. I wish someone would have told me that. That's why I say that. Not in judgment, but I wish someone would have told me that. So as we were dating and we got married, then we were married and we wanted to start a family. But because of some of the choices I had made prior to Jesus, I had sinned against my body, and my womb was a wreck, and I could not carry a child. So we were married for 9 years, and we didn't try that whole time. I think we probably tried for about 6 years. And I went to several doctors, several specialists, and they told me, and I had many, many miscarriages, and they told me, you'll never carry a baby to full term. There's just nothing you can do. So I remember feeling so guilty because of how I had lived before. And I knew I was forgiven, but then I started carrying that burden of what I had done. And I thought, God, you must be punishing me. This is my punishment. And that was just a lie from the enemy. So the enemy will lie to you, and he will tell you that it is not possible. And he will tell you that because of your guilt and because of your shame and because of your choices, you don't deserve freedom, and you don't deserve the love of Christ, and you don't deserve a relationship with Jesus. And he's a liar, because God created us to worship him. And scripture says he seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. And I can remember just being so depressed. And I remember thinking, well, Chewy has always been so good, and he doesn't deserve this, Lord. You know, why did you find a mate for me if we can't have children? And also in his culture, it was very shunned upon that we hadn't already started a family. So we prayed. We had people pray for us. We did all kinds of stuff. We went to Mexico. His mom prayed for us. It was just like this big ordeal. And finally, I said, I'm never having a baby, and I'm fine with that. And Chewy and I both were like, okay, we're fine with that. You know, the Lord has something else planned. And at our old church, I was the ladies' leader, and we always put on a mother-daughter banquet. And every year, I loathed that mother-daughter banquet because I didn't have a daughter. And I can remember just being like, oh, I got to do this again. Lord, what are you doing this to me for? Why do I have to carry this in this thorn in my flesh? But I continued. I put it on, and there was a little lady there. And every year we got gifts for the mothers, and she gave me a gift. And I said, "Oh no, sister, I don't get a gift. I'm not a mother." And she said, "Oh, you're a mother." And I was like, "No, you know." And I was kind of feeling a little bit embarrassed. And to be honest with you, I was a little bit mad at her. I was like, don't give me that. You know how I feel about this. She knew me. And she was like, no, take this gift. So I begrudgingly took the gift. And that was in May. And then I can't remember when I found out I was pregnant, but Juliana was born in February. And the Lord, it was just like, you know, I got pregnant. I had been pregnant before, but I was able to carry her. And when I went to the doctor, I was like, I'm so nervous, you know, everything, you know, I was just so worried about everything. And I was working full time. I had a teaching job. And I thought, I'm never going to be able to do this. I just can't do this. And the Lord, every day I was just like, God, I know I'm probably going to have miscarriage. I mean, literally every day that was my prayer. And I can remember him saying, do you trust me or do you trust man? And I just thought, okay, Lord. And she was born with absolutely no problems. Matter of fact, they had to induce me for her to be born because she just wanted to stay. So I praise God for that. And we never, Trier, neither one ever would have imagined. Because, I mean, we didn't just go to one doctor. We went to many in two countries. So we never imagined that we would have a daughter. And then, you know, she gets to be a little bit older, and she's like, I really want a sister. And I'm like, I'm not even trying that, honey. Just thank God you're here. Plus, I'm old. We're good. And then she asked her little Sunday school class. She was like, I want you guys to pray for my mommy to have me a sister. And we had Sophie. So God is so good. Yes, I remind Juliana often that she asked for Sophie because sometimes she doesn't really want to keep her around. So I have to remind her that often. I also have to remind myself that I prayed for kids. If you've ever raised a teenage daughter, you know what I'm talking about. But God is so good. He has blessed me. And that's I guess, one of my biggest testimonies. There's so much in between that and to where I am today. So much. But he has never left me. He's never forsaken me. But even the times when I felt alone, even the times when I knew I had failed him, he came through. And he will always come through. Sometimes it's dark. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes you're lonely. But he's always, always there. And I'll end with this. After many years of living bound by sin, there sometimes comes a time in your life when you do turn it all over to the Lord, but sometimes we even get bound by religion. We get bound in our church things and in doing things that man has told us to do, not necessarily that God in Scripture has told us to do. And as years progressed and I was in that church, particular church, that I had that feeling like, Lord, I hear the saints sing of freedom and this and that, but yet I still feel somewhat bound. And the Lord will deliver you. He delivers us even once we're saved. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Sometimes you need deliverance even though you are saved. And I thank him that every day he brings me a new word. Every day his mercies are renewed, and that he is not finished working on me because I'm still quite a hot mess. But he is patient, and he is kind, and he is loving. And even though right now Chewy and I are in turmoil with his health issues, he feels probably a lot like Sister Tabitha has lately. Every time he turns around, there's something else wrong with him. I asked him the other day, I was joking, but kind of not. I was like, well, you got any hidden sin you need to get rid of? But you know, I know he's going to kill me. He's probably watching this. But sometimes we just have to go through things that we don't understand. And in the end, we'll look back and say, ah, that's why. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I went through that. And there's scripture, and I can't remember it because my memory's terrible. That's why also you don't do drugs, kids, because your memory will be terrible. But there's a scripture that says something like, you know, he will give you renewed mercies every day. And even though you have to go through hard times, count it as good. Count it as good that you're being tried by the Lord, because he knows you will make it through. And we can make it through all things with him. And I'm so thankful that I know him. And I'm very thankful for this church and all your love for me and my family. And we just are thankful.
Thank you, Sister Jessica. Precious, precious testimony and a beautiful message as well. Amen. That was just very, very anointed and very much appreciated. She touched on many, many wonderful things. One thing she mentioned, and I'll just be very brief, was that children need guidelines. This past Friday at our men's meeting on Friday morning, the little book that we're going through talked about boundaries and how that boundaries are needful in our life. You might call them rules, you might call them regulations, but in fact, they're just boundaries. And the way that a person's makeup is, the way that we are, we need boundaries, we need limitations, we need to know what we can and what we can't do. And the Bible certainly has set those boundaries. And what had happened, there was a nursery school, and the nursery school let the kids play out in the back, and there was a fence for safety, naturally, to keep the kids so that they knew that they could play in this certain area that it was fenced in. Well, some psychologists got involved. And sometimes when psychologists get involved, things don't work out real, real good. So they suggested that you take the fences away because it was impeding the growth and the ability to reach out and to seek new horizons for the kids. Nursery school kids now. I'm thinking, you know, no, you don't do that. I mean, it may sound like a good idea, but believe me, that's not a good when you move those fences. So they did. They moved the fences to do a kind of a research on it, and they said that the children huddled in the middle of that play area and would not venture out at all because they was fearful of the unknown. The fences were gone, so they knew there was something that they wasn't supposed to be doing, and they wouldn't even play in the full playground because they huddled in there out of fear because the fences was gone. And I said, man, that'll preach. That will really, really preach, because we do need guidelines. We do need fences, spiritual fences that the Lord and the boundaries that he has placed in our life. And I thank God for the boundaries that was placed in my life, not necessarily by society, but by the word of God. Amen. And if we'll obey those rules and regulations, or whatever you want to call them, I just like to call them the statutes and precepts of Almighty God, then we'll know, amen, what our boundaries are, and that safety and security in there. Amen. I'm not gonna steal that thunder, but thank you, Sister Jessica. That was a beautiful, beautiful testimony. Amen. Brother Jim, come and give us what the Lord has laid on your heart. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Beautiful testimonies. Thank you, Sister Jessica. I don't know if I can, you know, when we were talking about it, and we were talking about, you know, I want a testimony like that, or I want to be able to do something. But I've got a testimony that I've never stood up here before and given, and it's been on my heart so many different times, but as I've been asked to speak or do something, the timing wasn't right. God knew exactly what the subject was, and this is something that has been on my heart many, many times, and I talk about testimonies. Y'all have all heard me say it. You know, God is, we just recognize him. We give him all the glory. When we testify about how great God is, it's through his testimony. There are so many people that you're going to meet. And I've heard this phrase mentioned in many different ways, but I'll put it into my words. You're as closest thing as they're ever going to come to the Bible or to get to know Jesus is through your walk and through your life. As she said, through our testimonies, the Lord gets all the glory in everything that we do. When we say we're blessed or we're going through a situation and we're able to take that and take that moment and give God the glory, whether it be in a doctor's office or you're fixed to go through a procedure, whatever the situation is. I know that we had a sister here that was, and I know you ladies know her very well, that was diagnosed with cancer. And they said she was the best testimony as she was going through her treatments. People looked forward to seeing her because she was lifting up the whole place. And there are so many things. I've heard Miss Connie and talk about the testimony of Brother Terry as he's been going through the situations with him. And to see that victory that he's got, and it's his testimony, but we all get to thrive off of it because we know how great God is, no matter how bad things are. But I want to talk just for a minute, and I've got a scripture, but I don't know how to work it in, except there's something's been heavy on my heart. And as we look in John and we talk about the woman at the well, and Jesus was able to talk to her, and he sent the disciples off to get food or victuals as they were getting ready to eat. And I really believe in my heart, he didn't send them away because he was hungry. He sent them away because he knew what he had to do doing the Lord's business. And when the lady came, he asked for water. And she said, why would you ask of me water? And then she even said, you don't even have anything to draw water with. And to make a, not to go into all the scripture, but as she was talking and he was talking to her and letting her know about, you know, if you drink the water that I offer, you'll never thirst again, and so many wonderful things. But this lady did something. As the disciples were coming back, and I'm just going to say this real quick. Back in 25, the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, and that he is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And this just touches me, as Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto you am he. And as the word of the Lord comes to us through whatever miraculous things, through it, there's through healing, whether it's through touch, wherever it's through whatever, and that's my life. So many times God's come into my life, and when I realize that's God, that is Jesus doing that. And then it says, and upon this came the disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou to her? And then immediately it goes into this wording. It says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way unto the city and said unto the men, come, see the man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? What a testimony. She was running through town telling everybody and even brought the people back to follow Jesus. And I like the movie The Chosen. And if you ever watch their depiction of that, when she runs away, come and see. The man that told me everything that I'd ever done is the Christ. And she goes out testifying and ministering in everything that we do. In her normal life, she ran into Jesus. She didn't run into him. Jesus had it all planned a long time. He knew where he needed to be. He knew he was going to be talking to her. And he didn't want the disciples in the way because they would have said, well, who is this woman? You shouldn't be. And all these different things. But Jesus, in our daily walk, whether it be through our health, through our situation, we can testify about him and speak of the good things in the Lord. And you might say, well, I don't have a testimony, or I don't have anything. We could talk about our salvation. We talk about the breath that he lets us breathe, or through the situations that I've heard from everybody here. What about that slow traffic that slowed you down, that had you thinking all these things and wanting to blow your horn at everybody? And when you get up to that intersection, there's a horrible wreck, or one happens, and you say, that could have been me if I hadn't have been slowed down. That's our testimony. That's our walk. But I want to say something, and when I talked about her, and the reason I want to put this into place, God used a minister in my life when I was a child. And I know, I'm an open book. I've probably told you about everything, but I know I've not testified about this. For those of you that don't know, I have bad eyes. And I was born that way, I believe, because I had a surgery when I was 3 and a surgery when I was 5. You can call it lazy eye, cross-eyed. I think they term anglyopia, if I say it right, or whatever that word is. They did the surgeries, and they would go in and clip the muscles of your good eye, trying to strengthen. The theory then, and I'm sure it's changed now, I'm not that young anymore, so things have changed. But the theory was you to weaken the strong eye to get the other one, the weak eye, stronger, if I said that right. I would wear patches, and I had to battle with those patches. They were kind of like a canvas filling. I remember as a kid, and I broke out with them, and I had sores all over. My parents had to put the wet poultices on my face and try to draw the poison out of the sores and all. But my eyes were really messed up. And I went, before it was called bullying and all, I went through the jest of kids with glasses. I mean, I've had people at school. I had a principal call me Four Eyes one time. He's trying to get my attention. I mean, but it bothered me. You know, people say, are you looking at me when my eyes are doing what they do? But I'm going to tell you, as a child, and this is my testimony to you now, to anyone that speaks for God, whether you're a minister or Sunday school teacher, whether you're just in the beauty parlor or in a grocery store, when you talk about how great God is and what he's doing in your life, I remember, and I don't remember the whole story. I was young. It was after the surgeries, and I was having these troubles with my eyes, and it was really bothering me. I would have to have therapy done, and my mother and I'd get on the train, and we'd go down to Macon because that's where the surgery was, and that surgeon. And they put me in this long room. It's kind of like your baptismal closet, but I remember it being long and narrow. And as a kid, it probably wasn't that long, but it seemed like it just went forever. They would turn off all the lights, and a therapist would sit there with me, and they'd have a light that I was supposed to focus on with both eyes. And it was hard. And it wasn't like I wanted to be felt sorry for, but I wanted to do good. I wanted my eyes well, but I didn't really understand that as much is I wanted to do what my parents wanted me to do. I guess you could say I was a good kid. I did stuff, but I didn't like to get caught. But she'd take a pen light, and bring it into my nose. And she would say, you've got to look at it with both eyes. And she'd get so close and that one eye would pop out. It just wouldn't stay with it. And they were trying to train. You know, I wore the patches, did all that fun stuff. But here's my testimony about how great God is, even as we're young. And as Sister Jessica said, we know he's calling us. We know he's using us and his love for us. But I was in the living room, and we talked about this Friday morning also. For those of you that seen your grandparents or great-grandparents, and I could say it was my parents because our generation, you had this beautiful piece of furniture, and it had the smallest TV screen in it. But it was a little black and white TV, and it worked most of the time. And had the rabbit ears with the tinfoil on it and all that kind of stuff. But for some reason, I was always attracted to hear preaching. And I was a Billy Graham. If Billy Graham was on, I was going to watch it. And there's so many different times. But when I was a kid, there was a man ministering. And I mean, he was preaching. And he was talking about healing. And I remember sitting there, and it's like, I can, just like I'm doing it right now. Everything's black and white in my mind. I don't see color in that respect. But as he was preaching and he kept talking about getting healed and he kept saying, you can be healed, you can be healed, you have to believe. And with my eyes, one of the traits to it is you're supposed to lose sight, usually the weakest eye or whatever. One gets really strong and the other one you lose sight. And then my right eye has been my weakest for so long. He said, if you believe, he said, pray with me. And he put his hand up. And I remember scooting up to that floor. I was sitting in the floor, and I put my hand on that screen over his hand. And I put my other hand over the eye that I wanted healed, or my eyes. And he prayed. And I remember to this moment how I felt. And it was an overwhelming flash of just heat. It was perspiration. It was everything that there was. But I remember after the prayer, and I was so excited, and then I couldn't even tell you where the message went from there. I got what I needed. And I ran to Mom, because Dad was at work. He was always working, which is what he's supposed to do. And I said, my eyes are well. And she started looking, and she goes, okay. I said, no, it's well. And you know, again, she looked, and she patted me on the back, said, go play. And not that she took it for granted, but that only I could give that testimony of what I felt and what I know. And I'll be honest with you, right now when I go to the doctor, matter of fact, I've had to make an appointment, it's coming up. I don't go as often as I should anymore. There's a lot of things that I've gone through with my eyes, and normally one will get stronger, one prescription, and the other will get weaker, and my eyes tend to rotate because I'll look at you normally with one eye. But I had a specialist tell me, and I've had more than one, even in the Army, my axis is very critical, the way I have to cut the lenses. There's a lot of finality they have to do to it. But I remember he was an officer. They kept messing up my glasses. I still couldn't see with them. Everything was blurred. Finally, he took this time, but he looked at my eyes and he started diagnosing me what I'd heard as a child. And he says, but this is odd. First of all, I guess he wondered how I got in the Army. But he realized that I had vision in both eyes. To this day, I can look at you with either eye. Now, granted, one's stronger than the other. I can tell you that. But I know God's healed me. And I know because of that, I've had the one specialist that I did, and I think Elaine, she wasn't with me that morning, but she made sure I went to this particular person. And it was a lady, and she said, you should not have, especially with my age, that eye should be, you know, you shouldn't use it. And because usually when a doctor's looking at my eyes, I have to ask, well, which one do you want to look at so I can focus it on them and look at them. So, okay, I've got crazy eyes, okay? They do what they want to. But I can see out of both of them. Now, they always tell me to wear the safety glasses, and on my stronger eye, you know, I need to make sure I buy the nicer lenses and all that. And I believe it's for real because it's not just a sales pitch. But I have to tell you, as a child, God healed me. I've not given y'all this testimony before, not because I'm hiding it. I need to get on to myself sometimes because I tell each and every one of you, you're a walking testimony. You need to speak out for the Lord. What has he done in your life? What has he done in your life? We know he's conquered cancer. He's helped people with COVID. The people that are going through, watching right now, I know Brother Chris is, we know he's healed. You know, God is working on everything. Each and every one of you, each and every situation you're going through. It's life is life, and we're going to go through situations. If y'all look at me, I've normally got Band-Aids or bruises somewhere. And that's my depth perception. I wanted to fly. I had made up my mind I wanted to be a warrant officer. When I went in the service, I wanted to fly a helicopter. Of course, with my eyes, I was washed out as soon as they looked at them. But, well, that's fine. They found me another job. They weren't going to let me out. But that's my God. That's who I serve. That's who I want to stand up here and tell you this Thanksgiving. Not only this, as we talked in Sunday school this morning, we were in Psalms 51. And when David was, when he really was checked, when he realized what he had done and he asked God for that complete forgiveness, he said, don't take your spirit away from me. Don't take this away. As we walk this daily life, we cannot walk in fear and trembling because God is our strength. He's provided for us a Savior, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who shed his blood for us. But as I talk about my testimony, I've got thousands of them. I can tell you things that we're from a generation, we all laugh about it at our age, but we rode in the back of pickup trucks with the tailgate down, dragging our feet down a gravel road. We all, my boys stood up between us when we'd hit our brakes hard and almost get in an accident or something, and laying in our arms were like railroad crossings. We'd stick them out and hold the kids. But we've made it. There was no helmets. There was no knee pads, you know. But I'm not saying we were the smartest thing in the world. But God brought us through. He knows who's here tonight. He knows who has a testimony. He knows what you need to be feeling right now in your spirit, that it doesn't matter how weak or tired or hard things feel. If you put your faith in the Lord, God will. We pray for our children. We pray for our grandchildren. This morning, the testimony of seeing the young man at the altar. That's the prayer. That's a mama's prayer being answered. We've all been prayed for. Our ministers work very hard. They put their heart into being obedient to God. And I wish I knew who that pastor was. I hope when I get to heaven, I'll get to meet him. I hope I get to meet him. Because he was obedient, and when he stuck his hand out and said, if you believe, you pray with me. Well, I remember putting my hand on that screen as plain as I'm standing here right now. And God touched me. And I've got both eyes. Now, they're not as strong as they could be, y'all. I will say this, and it's the cutest little feller. I don't even think he was a regular at our church, but he came to Vacation Bible School. This is back when Elaine used to do crafts, and I'm a good husband, okay? Like Miss Jennifer said, just say yes. Is that what you said? Just say yes when you're called on. Well, I didn't know it, but I was doing crafts too when she signed up. And I was down there working with these little boys. They were probably eight to 10-year-olds. You know, you can straighten little boys out. All you got to do is call them out, and they're fine. Just let them have fun. Get in there and play with them. But I was down there asking him. He was trying to tie something, and I was fixing it, and I was talking to him. And he looked at me, and I know he's looking at my eyes. He goes, are you talking to me? Because I know one eye was probably over here looking at something else, and the other's probably doing it. But anyway, I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm ashamed of what I was. But God's forgiven me for it. And he'll touch each and every one of you. And I want you to know how much you're loved and how much you mean to this church, how much you mean to this community, how much you mean to God. Every time you step through those doors, it's not just in here that we testify and we give God the glory. It's in our daily walk, as Sister Jessica said. He brought us through a lot. And I know I give you a lot of credit, Sister Jessica, because there's some things that I have been through that I knew who I was. I think Elaine and I laugh and say, that's before Jesus. But I know God was with me even as a child. And he's with these little ones in here right now. And I see the young ones now, and I just want you to know how much we love you. And if you ever have anything or need anything, we're right here as a church body to stand beside you and behind you. Thank y'all. Just love the Lord. Just praise his name. Amen.
Praise God. God is a great God.
Yes, he is.
And he's certainly been busy in our lives with all the wonderful testimonies. He's going to share just a couple of scriptures with you. And I want you to enter into this season of Thanksgiving with a truly thankful heart. I know that the last couple of years, probably got a lot to gripe about. Probably got a lot of things that didn't go right. We could spend the next hour talking about the economy and inflation and all of those things. But I've learned one thing. The Lord will, in fact, supply our needs. You've heard us say it time and time again. He may not fill your meal barrel up.
That's right.
But he won't let it run empty either. And that is a blessing, and we need to thank him for that. The psalmist read, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations. 1 Thessalonians says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'd like for our music to come, if they would. Don't think I've done anything exactly like this, but as we enter into this week of Thanksgiving, we want to make sure that we enter it with a rightful and thankful heart. So I want you to lay down every burden this tonight, give it to the Lord, and just go about this week with a good heart and a good Thanksgiving. Yes, ma'am.
I need to testify right quick.
Okay.
Can't get away from it.
Pull this thing down. We're getting close.
I was going to do it last Sunday, but I'm like, I didn't want it to be a bless her heart, because I was afraid this is the way it's going to come across. And most all of you know the health journey that Terry and I both have been through. Terry especially, this past year and a half, we've went through a lot of things I never would have thought. Our life completely changed in every way imaginable. And the Lord's been right there beside us every step of the way. But I've lost a considerable amount of weight in the past year and a half. And when you do, then you've got a lot of clothes you can't wear. And my closet kind of goes back kind of deep. And I was kind of in the habit of just grabbing through the middle, throwing something on, go on, don't care. Well, I was getting to the point where whatever I was grabbing out of the middle wasn't working. And I remember telling Gail about it, and it was about a month and a half ago. I went to the closet, and there was a pair of pants hanging there. I didn't really remember buying them, but they were just right there in front of me. I'm like, well, okay, thank you, Lord. You know, so. And then it got to where I would come through, and he was like, well, you're going to have to go take that off. That just looks terrible. It's too big, you know. So it'd been quite a while since I had cleaned out my closet. And I get overwhelmed very easily now. I deal with a lot of anxiety now. Some depression sometimes. Because some of the things that we go through are very difficult. But I thought, well, you need to clean out your closet. But I just walked by and I'm like, oh, God. I just don't think I can do it. But it finally got to the point, okay, I'm going to have to bite the bullet and do it. So I took everything out of my closet, and I laid it on Braden's bed. And Terry come rolling through, and he's like, my gosh, was all that in your closet? Yeah, I am a clothes hoarder. I admit it, I am. And so I just sat there, and I'm like, well, Lord, you know, I need clothes to wear to church. I can't go shopping. I'm not in that position to do that anymore. So I just start going through stuff. And I'm filling up bags, and Bud's like, well, Mama, whatever you don't want, just let me know. And he was going to take it somewhere in Dallas, you know. And I'm like, well, okay. So I start washing and drying clothes, and I'm like, well, what I can wear, I can wear. What I can, I'll put in the bag, and wherever he's going to take them, they'll be clean clothes for somebody to get. A lot of them had tags on them I'd never worn. A lot of these clothes I'd never remember having. But for whatever reason, I cleaned out 9 bags of clothes that I couldn't wear. If you came to my house and looked in my closet now, you wouldn't think I took anything out. And I looked, and I remember telling Gail one day, and I do believe what Sister Penny said, sometimes we really have to pray earnestly about things, but sometimes in my situation, I'll just sit down and say, Lord, I don't even know what to say. I just really don't know what to say. But thank the Lord, he can see in our heart.
Yes,
and we don't have to say anything. And when I do feel overwhelmed, or do feel anxiety coming on, I can just go sit down and start breathing deep and praying. Sure. And I get through it. But I'm so very thankful that not only does God help with the big things, He helps with the little things. Yes. And He knew what I needed. And I have clothes. We have everything we need. And I tell you, I don't think we could have been through what we've been through without God. And I feel so bad for people that can't say that. Because I got to say, there's a lot of times I don't know that we could have made it without Him. So, especially this time of year, I am so very thankful that we have a loving God and a God that takes care of our daily needs every day.
Amen.
I love y'all.
Yes, ma'am.
Been struggling with, but God is so good. And I sat over there and I thought, God, I don't want to get up there. But God said, but in my heart, I said, God, I'm going to do it because I'm giving you the glory.
Right.
I'm giving you all the glory.
Yes.
Well, when I first got diagnosed with cancer, a lot of people in here don't know it, but they came back and told me I had stage 4 cancer. I didn't tell very many people because I'm the kind of person that I believe in your faith. You don't go around speaking negative. You don't complain about your illness. You believe and you stand on the word of God. And I did. I stood on it. People ask me how I'm doing. I'm doing fine. No problems. You having any side effects? None. I'm doing great. You sure do laugh a lot. You wouldn't know you had cancer. But nobody knew I had stage 4 cancer because I didn't tell them because I knew where my source was coming from, from right upstairs. And I stood on that word. I got out that Bible. And every time Satan come to me, I quoted him scripture. I quoted him scripture. I said, no, not today. First of all, they diagnosed me with breast cancer. Then they did a biopsy. They found one in my lymph node. Well, then that they told me it was stage 4. Anytime it moves to another area, it's stage 4. Well, then they wanted to do a PET scan. They found some places in my back. Then they did a biopsy. The biopsy came back positive. It was in my back. But I can read right here on this phone from my chart at Tanner Hospital, where it says the places in my back. It doesn't say they're gone. It says they are healed.
Whoa.
They are healed. I had to have another scan because I was having some dizzy spells. Well, naturally, when you got the C word involved, every little thing you get, it's oh this, oh that, oh my. Satan comes at you like a ton of bricks. Well, I had to stand on the word again. Well, the doctors, after they did the last scan, they told me, they said the uptake was not real heavy and they weren't concerned about it. But they had already scheduled me for a skull scan. So anyway, they called me and I thought, well, I'm not gonna go for it. Well, I talked to my dear son and he said, no, Mama, you're going. You're gonna go ahead and get it done. I said, well, they don't seem to be concerned about it, Jason. He said, Mom, get it done. So I went, and this was the last prayer request, Brother Eddie. The MRI came back, everything's normal.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Let me tell you, God is real. But we've got to stand on His word.
Amen.
And we can't be speaking, oh, how are you? Oh, let me tell you about my illness today. Let me tell you about this. We can't be doing that. That's a lack of faith. When we speak it, we've got to watch what we speak. You know, but God's been good to me. I'm going tomorrow for another mammogram, and I'm also going for a bone density test. I'm praying to God everything is going to be fine. And then they're planning on doing surgery on the 10th of December with what's left of the cancer. I pray none's left, because God can do it. But anyway, I can't go without giving him all the glory, all the praise. It's not about me. It's not about none of us. It's all about him. Thank y'all so much.
Now, I hate to come up here at the last minute, but when Brother Smurf was talking, he said, be obedient. I was like, oh, gosh, now I have to go up there. So last, it was Sunday night, I came up here, and the devil's just been destroying me mentally. You know, I never really had problems with my physical being, but mentally, the devil's always got in my mind telling me that I'm not good enough to do what the good Lord's called me to do, that I'm not good enough to, you know, witness to people, that I'm not good enough to... that I'm not good enough, you know, just to even be a Christian and follow God. But who knows that none of us are good enough to be a Christian, but because Jesus died on the cross for us, that we are good enough. So I came up here and I prayed. I was like, I told Brother Chris that, you know, the devil's been attacking me. And it's been going on for like at least 6 months. And I'm about like you. I don't say nothing. I don't like telling everybody that what I'm going through. You know, I like keep it to myself. But sometimes we got to not... That's what she said, but sometimes we gotta talk to somebody. Sometimes we gotta, you know, step out in faith to talk to somebody and, you know, get, because that's what we're here for, to get advice and to share with our brothers and sisters what we're going through. So I come up here and I asked him to pray for me, and he told me to just to walk and told devil to get behind me, you know. And I always knew that God has cast out demons, that God, or what Jesus, that he cast out demons and what he can do in my life, but I never acted like that he could do it in my life. I never showed faith what he could do in my life. So as I walked around this church, I just felt like a ton of bricks were coming off my head. That I just felt like I weighed 60 pounds less. Not that I did physically, but spiritually, I weighed 60 pounds less. And so I just wanted to share, John 10:10 says, "The thief come not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Who knows that the devil will come to kill, steal, and destroy your body and your thoughts. He will come to steal, kill, and destroy your relationship with God. And I will not let the devil come and steal, kill, destroy what God has promised me. But, because I know that I'm not worthy enough to sit up here and talk to you, but I know that a God that died on the cross for me made me worthy enough to sit up here and talk to you. So, man... When I got home that night, you know, I jam out when I get in the shower. You know, I'm talking about, I'm singing top of my lungs. And I can't sing, don't get me wrong, but... And a song popped up on my phone, and it said, "Don't Tread on Me." And technically, "Don't Tread on Me," I'm sure everybody knows what "Don't Tread on Me" means, but it says, "Don't come over on me, because you have no dominion over me. Don't come to me." So, and it began to sing how, "Devil, don't tread on me." It's by We the Kingdom. And it said, "Devil, don't tread on me." And I would not let the devil tread on me no more. I will never let the devil make me feel like how I felt like no more. Because now I know and now I believe that I am a child of the Most High King. I'm not going to say I'm a child of the Most High King because I believe I am the child of the Most High King. I'm not just saying things no more. Sometimes we say things too much and we don't believe what we speak. But now I'm going to begin to believe what I speak, because faith is a centerpiece of having a relationship with God. If we have no faith in what we do, then we might as well not do it at all. Like, for example... It was at another church, and a man came up. We were talking for the first time, never met the guy. He was telling me how when he stands up, like, his blood rushes to his legs, so he has to wear socks. And I don't know, like, the sickness or anything. And I felt God call me to pray for him. Not that I did anything, because I was obedient, but God told me to pray for him. So I prayed for the man, and, you know, I didn't see him for about 2 months. But he came to this church, visited, and he had shorts on and no socks. And I was like, "Hey, man, you don't got to wear them socks anymore?" He's like, "No, I went to the doctor." And he said, "He don't know what happened, that my legs are just fine. They don't happen no more, you know." And that was about 6 months ago, maybe, and I still let the devil tell me the things he was telling me. It's easy to believe for someone else, but sometimes it's hard to believe for yourself, because you know the things you do on a day-to-day basis, you know. And don't get me wrong, I still struggle, and I still sin every single day. but I know the God I serve now, and I know that the devil is going to come kill, steal, and destroy from me, but I also know that God is a greater God than the devil that is coming to steal, kill, and destroy from me. So I just want to come, and I want to be thankful for that I serve a good God. You know, don't get me wrong, the devil is good at what he does, but I serve a greater God. So I just want to come and thank God for being such a good God and for, you know, healing my thoughts. And this past week, I began to walk like I walked around this church. I began to walk. Every single step I take, I'm telling the devil that you get behind me because you have no dominion over my body. So I just want to come. So I just wanted to come and thank God that I serve a great God. And I wanted to let y'all know that we serve a great God. Sometimes we sit here and we listen to Brother Eddie tell us too much that we serve a great God. It's about time that we start believing in our own thing that we serve a great God. Because Brother Eddie can't get us to heaven. Only Jesus can get us to heaven. So I'm not going to let the devil steal from me no more. I'm not going to let the devil tell me that I'm not good enough to serve God no more. I'm not going to let the devil tell me that I'm not good enough to be a Christian no more. And I just want to let y'all know that every single one of y'all serve the same God I do. And if you serve the same God I do, then the devil has no dominion over your life. You are going to go to that hospital, and they're not going to have to do a surgery because the devil has no dominion over your life. Aunt Connie, you cleaned out your closet. It's about time that you cleaned out your closet spiritually because the devil has no dominion over your thoughts. I thank God that Sister Jessica let the devil, rebuke the devil out of her life and let God tell the devil that you get away from my child. You know, it's about time that we start believing that the devil has no dominion over us. I'm glad that your son came to this altar and he knows that the devil has no dominion over him no more. And I believe that the devil will flee if he keeps on walking with God. I know it will because that's what my Bible says so. And I just wanted to let y'all know that the same God that healed me, the same God that can heal y'all. Amen. Amen. But, you know, I don't know. There might be some people in here that haven't been to church their whole life like I have. And not saying that you've been to church your whole life, that you're not going to go through things, you know. But I just want to let somebody here know tonight that if you come to this altar and you give your life to God, that the things you go through, that the anxiety, the depression, the things that you go through at school if you're young, the things that you go through at work if you're older, the things that you go through on a day-to-day basis, that's just the devil coming to you. And it's about time you come to this altar and you let that devil know that you serve the God of gods and the kings of kings, and he has no dominion over your life. And that's all I wanted to come to tonight. And I want to thank God for the little things and the big things that he's done for me. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, I'm feeling so much better since I laid my burden down. Are you feeling better? Well, I'm feeling so much better now since I laid that old burden down. Sing glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Now I'm on my way to heaven since I laid that burden down. Sing it, church. Well, I'm on my way to heaven since I laid that burden down. Sing glory, 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 hallelujah, since I laid all my burdens down. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Well, I'm feeling so much better since I laid my burden down. Well, I'm feeling so much better, Lord, since I laid my burden down. Sing that one more time. Well, I'm feeling so much better since I laid my burden down. Yes, I I'm feeling so much better now since I lay. Glory, glory, where glory, glory, hallelujah, since I lay that burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I lay that burden down. Thankful heart tonight. May God bless you. We love you and we appreciate you coming out tonight. Don't forget, Wednesday night we are having communion service here at church. So come prepared, amen, for that communion service.
Amen. If you have a need for that service, I want to dismiss without grace. If we don't see you before Thanksgiving, have a wonderful, safe, and happy Thanksgiving. With this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come with thankful hearts. God, from the testimonies that we've heard tonight, God, you've been so gracious to us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the healing, for the deliverance, God, just for touching our lives and helping us to realize that we can't make it without you. And Father, we pray for the safety of all of those who are gathered here tonight, God, and their families. Pray, God, that you will just protect each and every one. Go with us now, Lord. Lead us and guide us and direct us in the path that you'd have us to go. And we be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a great evening. Praise God.